Matthew, he says, I will never understand Byron. My wife is married to another man. My daughter is in love with pop songs about sex and money, while Byron offers nothing but Seville and oranges. I can't tell if he loves me or not. My professor shrugs like all dead men shrug, stands up and walks out of my room like all men, dead or alive, slowly, with his head bent to the task of leaving. Waking up in the early morning, half dressed for a dream about ballroom dancing, my coattails fluttering in long black strips behind me, top hat pulled down over my eyes, and half dressed for breakfast, my pajama bottoms covered with flickering hotel signs, I remember that I live alone. And because I live alone, I take the palm trees far too seriously, depend far too much on my books, lined up like a third grade class preparing for recess, all wearing different coats, some pushing and pulling at their classmates. If you live alone with a smile thin as a paper cut, your dead English professor coming around every other night in tears, an empty mailbox and a neighbor that puts her cigarettes out near begonia, you should not hang yourself. Tell the palm tree you love him. Light a candle and offer yourself up to the books. Haven't they saved your life once before? Reading Allen Ginsberg the day your friend cut himself open in the back seat of his car, the engine running while his mother was getting high off a plastic bag of tape thinner, a bluish ring around her mouth. You could have been in that car. You could have been like her. But you sat on the floor and pulled Lucille Clifton off the shelf instead. As if that were not enough to make you shiver, while the angel of fate passed you over, somewhere in New Jersey, you have Bruce Springsteen writing songs about you and wondering how you are. We fall in love with the art that we fall in love with. And does it really love us back? Does it matter if it loves us back? It can still save our life, whether it does or it doesn't. In 1981, Bruce Springsteen came off of his tour for the River album. His most successful tour, his most successful album. He had a hit single in the charts with Hungry Heart. He was actually making money for the first time in his career. He's a perfectionist, so he spent a lot of his money on the studio making his records. So he didn't have any money in his pocket until then. So once he had all that money, what he did was he retreated from everyone he knew, his band, the few friends he had outside of the music industry, broke up with his girlfriend, and kind of hid out in a really nondescript house in Colts Neck, New Jersey, where the only interesting characteristics of the house was the bedroom was covered in this hideous orange shag rug, which it still is. There, you can visit it. And he started with a four-track recorder making recordings for what he thought would be the next band record. And he did that alone in the bedroom with his guitar and a couple of other instruments. And so he made this tape and he took it to the band a little while later, a few months later, and said, this is going to be the next record. And they tried to record those songs and it didn't work. It started pretty encouragingly. I think the first song they recorded was Born in the USA. And that seemed like it was going to be a good session, but then it just all fell apart. So they tried recording it every which way with the band. None of those songs worked. Figured, well, he recorded it alone in the bedroom. Just put him in the studio with a guitar. That'll be the record. That didn't work. Nothing sounded right. They couldn't figure it out. This tape that he had made, which was a shitty little Maxell tape that you could buy in a grocery store, that I remember making mixtapes on when I was a kid could not be translated into any other form. It existed as it was. And they tried, the highest paid people in the music industry tried to transfer that music to a more acceptable commercial sound. It never worked. The songs resisted it. So eventually it just became, well, this is the record. It's just this tape. Then they had to figure out how to get that tape onto a record. And that caused a lot of problems. What I find really reassuring about that story is that despite our very best efforts to fuck it up, good art will resist those efforts. And that art will exist on its own terms and find its own audience and be its own living, breathing thing, no matter what we attempt to do to it. And I think that's very reassuring to know that whatever I do or whatever we do, however much we fall in love with a piece of art or wonder what the artist is thinking, it doesn't really matter. The art exists on its own, and we come to it on our own, each on its own terms. And that is the relationship we forge. And that is the relationship that matters and carries on. And I just think that's a really beautiful thing. So without further ado, talking about beauty, Joan Bauer is coming up to tell you about what else is going on. Well, thanks for coming in. Thank you.